And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. Joining me here in the studio is Mizzou's professor of piano, Peter Miyamoto. Peter, thanks for swinging by.
Yes, my pleasure.
All right. We are here to discuss Beethoven or Bust.
That's right. I'm traversing the whole, all of the sonatas that Ludwig von Beethoven wrote for the piano. So both the solo sonatas, which is 32 sonatas, mm-hmm. That's a big task in itself. I think it's going to take 9 full programs
okay.
of just piano pieces. And then I'm also finishing up this year the cycles of violin, cello, horn, and four-hands piano sonatas as well. So there's a total of 49 Beethoven sonatas in there
okay.
and 32 solo Beethoven. Yep.
So it's quite an undertaking.
Yes.
but what you're here to talk about now is what's coming up on this Friday, and that's September 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Whitmore. And it is your first recital featuring just the Beethoven works for solo piano.
That's right.
And you've got a special connection to these works?
Well, yes, I would say so. Four of my teachers studied with Arthur Schnabel, and Arthur Schnabel happened to be the first person to record the complete Beethoven cycle.
Okay.
And he is in the line of Beethoven in that Beethoven taught Carl Czerny. You might know that name from mm-hmm. he wrote a lot of etudes, but was also a fine pianist, who taught a man named Lechetitsky, who taught Schnabel, who taught four of my teachers, and then myself. So, and now I'm teaching the next generation of pianists at Mizzou. So there is this line directly back to Beethoven, which is kind of cool.
That's super cool.
Right. Yeah. and certainly both Schnabel recorded the complete set for the first time. Also, my teacher, Claude Frank, was known for a set that he made of the complete Beethoven sonatas in the 1970s, which was very well reviewed. It's something, and I remember talking to him about the programming of it. It was many years ago, he's since passed away, but I remember in the conversation, what he told me was that he started with, when he did the cycle at Hunter College, he started with the first sonata on the first program, and he ended with the last sonata, and other than that, he just mixed it up as he liked, and I remember him telling me, you know, in a way, it doesn't matter because it's all great music, so no matter how you put them together, it's going to be fine. But he did mention that some of the things that he did was he tried to always offer a blend of the different periods of Beethoven because he wrote the early, middle, and late periods. Mm-hmm. There's that. And then he also tried to always include one of the titled sonatas. So there's a lot of the more famous sonatas like the Moonlight and the Appassionata, which I actually will play this Friday, are, you know, they have a kind of cachet because of they've been named. But most of the names were not actually from Beethoven.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, it was, I just read something really funny, but there was just one that was named while he was alive, and most of them were named afterwards,
right?
Like when they were being translated, like four hands, or
right.
So interesting. So then you're starting then, obviously, right. with the first
sonata, and it's a piece I love. It was one of the first that I learned, and you know, revisiting it, I'm just in awe. Just the first page itself, there are so many wonderful things. I mean, they're kind of technical musical things that he does, but the quality of it is so high. And I realized that, you know, he wrote it, he moved to Vienna when he was 22, and he started studying with Haydn, and this is the second, it's Opus 2, it's a set of 3 piano sonatas, so it looks like it's very early in his output, but one has to remember that he actually wrote a lot of sonatas beforehand that were not published.
Correct, before. Yeah, this is just the published
ones. Right.
But these are all dedicated to Haydn.
That is correct. And they had a kind of interesting relationship. His Opus 1 is a set of 3 trios. And it was a very normal practice to publish in sets of 3s. So that's what he did with both Opus 1 and Opus 2. And in the reason is, I think, that there's the possibility of demonstrating kind of more of a range of types of music that mm-hmm. way. And in both Opus 1 and Opus 2, there's one piece that is in minor. And that's a little bit more passionate, a little bit more maybe for the time avant-garde. And it's interesting because Haydn reacted badly to the trio that was in C minor. And he actually didn't want Beethoven to publish it. And I think Beethoven was rather offended. He did publish it, and it actually is probably the more most often played of that set. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because I kind of think it's notable that although he did dedicate the Opus 2 to Haydn, he also made sure that the first work in it is the minor.
It's the minor.
One. Yeah, the F minor. It's a great work. Right off the bat, there's all these fantastic things. The first subject is just so well constructed, really hidden. I don't think I really knew it till this summer when I was revisiting it. The second subject, the contrasting theme in the first movement, is an inversion of the first subject. And, you know, there's all these neat little things that are, they might not even be heard by the general audience, but it just means it's so well constructed and it's fantastic stuff. The second movement is a beautiful cantabile, slow movement. And we have to remember that Beethoven was known pianistically not only for these virtuosic improvisatory pieces that he would just spontaneously erupt into, but also the beauty of his slow playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last movement, there's four movements. The third movement is a minuet, so kind of looking backwards to older forms. But the fourth movement is this tumultuous prestissimo, very virtuosic. And right away, you get the contrast between very soft dynamics and very loud dynamics. So this is no longer for the harpsichord. It's definitely
no,
for
this
the piano.
Is for the piano.
And that's one of the things that's kind of fun about Beethoven's sonatas as a whole, is there's this dialogue between piano makers and Beethoven's writing throughout, because he's challenging the makers to build stronger pianos that have more contrast. And even the range of the piano gets expanded, the notes that are available to a pianist, in large part because of Beethoven. Yeah.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's really cool. And then you're doing another early piece as well, mm-hmm. Sonata number 6.
Right, which is part of his Opus 10 set of three sonatas, there again. this one is not in the minor key. It's actually, for me, the contrasting, almost humorous. Both Opus 2 and Opus 10 have a very, almost funny piece in there, and this is that one. So I thought it made a nice contrast.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then you move right into Beethoven's middle period. Once he's, at this point, accepted the fact that his hearing loss is irreversible, and
sure.
he's in a different mood,
sure.
both as a composer and
right.
just in general.
So with the programming, I mentioned that I'd like to mix up early, middle, and late. Mm-hmm. There are only 5 late sonatas. And so already I'm giving 9 programs. It's mathematically impossible. But not only that, but I made the decision when I was planning out these programs that my last program would be the last 3 sonatas, the Opus 109, 110, and 111. They're kind of a trilogy. And so I just thought it was, but that therefore the logistics of including a late sonata, it's not possible. So, but I thought this program would really be well anchored with the Appassionata Sonata, which is a very mature middle period where he's expanding the form, the virtuosity, and again, the dynamic contrasts of the piano. Mm-hmm. And it's one of his most popular sonatas. So I thought that would be a good way to end the first program. I fill that out with, if you notice, all of the sonatas on this program are in F. Mm-hmm. So the first sonata is in F minor, second in F major, and the last Appassionata is in F minor. The final sonata I will play before the Appassionata is Opus 54. It's kind of, in many ways, it's the least popular of the Beethoven sonatas, and I think it's mostly because it's a little bit misunderstood, in my opinion.
You don't think that has something to do with where it falls just in the lineage of the sonatas as well?
That's right. It was published right in between the Waldstein and the Appassionata.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have your most popular sonatas and then
this one.
And it's a very strange sonata. It's a two-movement piece. It starts with a tempo diminuendo. So kind of, again, looking back at a Baroque form. It's not even a minuet, though. It's in the tempo of a minuet. And it is a rather strange. You have two themes that are very contrasting, very like the minuet, almost elegant first subject, and then a kind of rambunctious second subject, which is all in octaves. It's actually very difficult to play. very energetic. And so, you know, it has been called in the past, it had the nickname of Beauty and the Beast by some people. And then the last movement is almost a toccata. It's constant 16th notes. And many people play it very virtuosically. This is where I kind of differ. I have kind of different takes on this sonata. And who knows, maybe it'll change in the next 2 days before I play it. but for instance, the last movement is actually only Allegretto. Mm-hmm. And it's Mark Dolce. And I feel like most people just ram through it top speed without really taking into consider those. So I kind of look at it as a bridge towards the late style, and with a certain, like for instance, the Dolce and the first subject of the first movement, very sweet, very expressive, rather than, you know, cute.
Well, this is great. So this is the first of 9 performances.
Nine of the piano sonatas.
That's just right. Solo, yeah. The solos.
And I will kind of take a hiatus from it while I finish the collaborative in September, October, and November. And then I'll start up with my next solo program in the end of January.
Okay. So this is coming up this Friday, 2 days from now, on September 6th in the Whitmore at 7:30 p.m. And Peter Miyamoto performing 2 early sonatas and 2 middle sonatas, mm-hmm, from Beethoven, numbers 1, 6, 22, and 23, the Appassionata. Wonderful. Well, Peter, thanks so much for swinging by. Of course, I'm sure we'll catch you again as you begin to finish out the collaborative works.
That's right.
of Beethoven. And that's your first performance of that's going to be coming up on the 22nd, I think, of September.
September.
Also right around the corner.
That's right.
No,
that's also a great program with Julie Rosenfeld. It'll be the violin sonatas, number 7, 8, and 3.
Wonderful. Well, we look forward to talking, mm-hmm, to you about that, too.
Great.
Well, thanks for swinging by, and we'll see you on Friday.
Perfect.
All right.